This is the reading for April 30th. Psalm 120. When I was in trouble, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Lord, save me from liars and from those who plan evil. You who plan evil, what will God do to you? How will He punish you? He will punish you with the sharp arrows of a warrior and with burning coals of wood. How terrible it is for me to live in the land of Meshech, to live among the people of Kedar. I have lived too long with people who hate peace. When I talk peace, they want war. 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a man named Elkanah, son of Jeroham from Ramathaim in the mountains of Ephraim. Elkanah was from the family of Zuth. Jeroham was Elihu's son. Elihu was Tohu's son, and Tohu was the son of Zuth from the family group of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives named Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Every year, Elkanah left his town of Ramah and went up to Shiloh to worship the Lord All-Powerful and to offer sacrifices to Him. Shiloh was where Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, served as priests of the Lord. When Elkanah offered sacrifices, he always gave a share of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to her sons and daughters. But Elkanah always gave a special share of the meat to Hannah because he loved Hannah and because the Lord had kept her from having children. Peninnah would tease Hannah and upset her because the Lord had made her unable to have children. This happened every year when they went up to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. Peninnah would upset Hannah until Hannah would cry and not eat anything. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you crying, and why won't you eat? Why are you sad? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, after they had eaten their meal in Shiloh, Hannah got up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair near the entrance to the Lord's house. Hannah was so sad that she cried and prayed to the Lord. She made a promise, saying, "Lord All-Powerful, see how sad I am. Remember me and don't forget me. If you will give me a son, I will give him back to you all his life, and no one will ever cut his hair with a razor." While Hannah kept praying, Eli watched her mouth. She was praying in her heart, so her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "Stop getting drunk. Throw away your wine." Hannah answered, "No, sir, I have not drunk any wine or beer. I am a deeply troubled woman, and I was telling the Lord about all my problems. Don't think I am an evil woman. I have been praying because I have many troubles and am very sad." Eli answered, "Go, I wish you well. May the God of Israel give you what you asked of Him." Hannah said, "May I always please you." When she left and ate something, she was not sad anymore. Early the next morning, Elkanah's family got up and worshiped the Lord. Then they went back home to Ramah. Elkanah had sexual relations with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So Hannah became pregnant, and in time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "His name is Samuel because I asked the Lord for him." Every year, Elkanah went with his whole family to Shiloh to offer sacrifices and to keep the promise he had made to God. But one time, Hannah did not go with him. She told him, "When the boy is old enough to eat solid food, I will take him to Shiloh. Then I will give him to the Lord, and he will always live there." Elkanah, Hannah's husband, said to her, "Do what you think is best. You may stay home until the boy is old enough to eat. May the Lord do what you have said." So Hannah stayed at home to nurse her son until he was old enough to eat. When Samuel was old enough to eat, Hannah took him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, along with a 3-year-old bull, 1/2 bushel of flour, and a leather bag filled with wine. After they had killed the bull for the sacrifice, Hannah brought Samuel to Eli. She said to Eli, "As surely as you live, sir, I am the same woman who stood near you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord answered my prayer and gave him to me. Now I give him back to the Lord. He will belong to the Lord all his life." And he worshipped the Lord there. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah prayed, "The Lord has filled my heart with joy. I feel very strong in the Lord. I can laugh at my enemies. I am glad because you have helped me. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no God but you. There is no rock like our God. Don't continue bragging. Don't speak proud words. The Lord is a God who knows everything, and He judges what people do. The bows of warriors break, but weak people become strong. Those who once had plenty of food now must work for food, but people who were hungry are hungry no more. The woman who could not have children now has seven, but the woman who had many children now is sad. The Lord sends death, and He brings to life. He sends people to the grave, and He raises them to life again. The Lord makes some people poor, and others He makes rich. He makes some people humble, and others He makes great. The Lord raises the poor up from the dust, and He lifts the needy from the ashes. He lets the poor sit with princes and receive a throne of honor. The foundations of the earth belong to the Lord, and the Lord set the world upon them. He protects those who are loyal to Him, but evil people will be silenced in darkness. Power is not the key to success. The Lord destroys His enemies. He will thunder in heaven against them. The Lord will judge all the earth. He will give power to His king and make His appointed king strong. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy continued to serve the Lord under Eli the priest. Now Eli's sons were evil men. They did not care about the Lord. This is what the priests would normally do to the people. Every time someone brought a sacrifice, the meat would be cooked in a pot. The priest's servant would then come carrying a fork that had three prongs. He would plunge the fork into the pot or the kettle. Whenever the fork brought out of the pot belonged to the priest. But this is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh to offer sacrifices. Even before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come to the person offering sacrifices and say, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, only raw meat." If the one who offered the sacrifice said, "Let the fat be burned up first as usual, and then take anything you want," the priest's servant would answer, "No, give me the meat now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." The Lord saw that the sin of the servants was very great because they did not show respect for the offerings made to the Lord. But Samuel obeyed the Lord. As a boy, he wore a linen holy vest. Every year, Samuel's mother made a little coat for him and took it to him when she went with her husband to Shiloh for the sacrifice. When Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, he would say, "May the Lord repay you with children through Hannah to take the place of the boy Hannah prayed for and gave back to the Lord." Then Elkanah and Hannah would go home. The Lord was kind to Hannah, so she became the mother of three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew up serving the Lord. Now Eli was very old. He heard about everything his sons were doing to all the Israelites and how his sons had sexual relations with the women who served at the entrance to the meeting tent. Eli said to his sons, "Why do you do these evil things that the people tell me about? No, my sons. The Lord's people are spreading a bad report about you. If you sin against someone, God can help you. But if you sin against the Lord Himself, no one can help you." But Eli's sons would not listen to him because the Lord had decided to put them to death. The boy Samuel grew physically. He pleased the Lord and the people. A man of God came to Eli and said, "This is what the Lord says. I clearly showed myself to the family of your ancestor Aaron when they were slaves to the king of Egypt. I chose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests. I wanted them to go up to my altar to burn incense and to wear the holy vest. I also let the family of your ancestor have part of all the offerings sacrificed by the Israelites. So why don't you respect the sacrifices and gifts? You honor your sons more than me. You grow fat on the best parts of the meat the Israelites bring to me." So the Lord, the God of Israel, says, "I promised that your family and your ancestors' family would serve me always. But now the Lord says, this must stop. I will honor those who honor me, but I will dishonor those who ignore me. The time is coming when I will destroy the descendants of both you and your ancestors. No man will grow old in your family. You will see trouble in my house. No matter what good things happen to Israel, there will never be an old man in your family. I will not totally cut off your family from my altar, but your eyes will cry and your heart be sad, because all your descendants will die. I will give you a sign. Both your sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will die on the same day. I will choose a loyal priest for myself who will listen to me and do what I want. I will make his family continue, and he will always serve before my appointed king. Then everyone left in your family will come and bow down before him. They will beg for a little money or a little food and say, 'Please give me a job as a priest so I can have food to eat.'"
Chapter 21.
Looking up, Jesus saw people, especially the rich, dropping their gifts into the temple offering box. He noticed a poor widow drop in two small coins. He said, "I can guarantee this truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others. All of these people have given what they could spare, but she, in her poverty, has given everything she had to live on." Some of the disciples were talking about the temple complex. They noted that it was built with fine stones and decorated with beautiful gifts. So Jesus said, "About these buildings that you see, the time will come when not one of these stones will be left on top of another. Each one will be torn down." The disciples asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? What will be the sign when all this will occur?" Jesus said, "Be careful that you are not deceived. Many will come using my name. They will say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, don't be terrified. These things must happen first, but the end will not come immediately." Then Jesus continued, "Nation will fight against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be terrible earthquakes, famines, and dreadful diseases in various places. Terrifying sights and miraculous signs will come from the sky. Before all these things happen, people will arrest and persecute you. They will hand you over to their synagogues and put you into their prisons. They will drag you in front of kings and governors because of my name. It will be your opportunity to testify to them. So make up your minds not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. I will give you words and wisdom that none of your enemies will be able to oppose or prove wrong. Even parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you and kill some of you. Everyone will hate you because you are committed to me, but not a hair on your head will be lost. By your endurance, you will save your life. When you see armies camped around Jerusalem, realize that the time is near for it to be destroyed. Then those of you in Judea should flee to the mountains. Those of you in Jerusalem should leave it. Those of you in the fields shouldn't go back into them. This will be a time of vengeance. Everything that is written about it will come true. How horrible it will be for women who are pregnant or who are nursing babies in those days. Indeed, the land will suffer very hard times and its people will be punished. Swords will cut them down and they will be carried off into all nations as prisoners. Nations will trample Jerusalem until the time allotted for the nations to do this are over. Miraculous signs will occur in the sun, moon, and stars. The nations of the earth will be deeply troubled and confused because of the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint as they fearfully wait for what will happen to the world. Indeed, the powers of the universe will be shaken. Then people will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to happen, stand with confidence. The time when you will be set free is near." Then Jesus used this story as an illustration. "Look at the fig tree or any other tree. As soon as leaves grow on them, you know without being told that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happen, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I can guarantee this truth. This generation will not disappear until all this takes place. The earth and the heavens will disappear, but my words will never disappear." Make sure that you don't become drunk, hungover, and worried about life. Then that day could suddenly catch you by surprise, like a trap that catches a bird. That day will surprise all people who live on the earth. Be alert at all times. Pray so that you have the power to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand in front of the Son of Man. During the day, Jesus would teach in the temple courtyard, but at night he would go to the Mount of Olives, as it was called, and spend the night there. All of the people would get up early to hear him speak in the temple courtyard.